morning. Wonderful to see everyone, most of you again, after just a little reprieve there. But welcome to our worship service at Flat Springs Baptist. If you are a guest with us, we are excited that you are here. We have guest cards, and those are located in the pew in front of you, and that's just to give us a record of you being with us. And the time to fill those out and put it, or the time to fill that out is during the offertory and put it in the offering plate when it comes by so we can have that record, and we would greatly appreciate it. I do have a couple of announcements just to make sure we are aware of a few things before we begin our worship service. First of all, Graduate Sunday is next Sunday. That is hard to believe, so I'm praying that we can extend the word out to everyone so we can be here to support all of our graduates and youth and parents. There is a graduate luncheon next Sunday right after worship, but it is $8 per person, and Crete Smith needs that money today. So if you plan on staying for lunch, which I hope you are, please get her that money today so she can make the right head count and have that information this week. Also, there are two brochures, new brochures, in the brochure box out in the atrium. We have our children and youth summer retreats planned, ready to go. So please pick one of these up. Read the information in there. It shows the schedule, it shows the due dates, and it gives you a brief understanding of what we're doing during these retreats so you can be well-informed and hopefully attend with us. Very excited about these opportunities, especially being the first children's retreat that we'll have this summer. So I'm very excited about that. And the youth one is in a new location this year, so also an exciting time. That's just a few things going on to start our morning. Are there any other announcements we have before we begin our worship service? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, we are very thankful to be gathered together this morning as your church. Lord, as we have come together, we have come prepared to worship you, to tell you that we love you and to sing praises to your name, Lord, to be empowered and challenged by your Holy Spirit to be able to live this week to its fullest potential, knowing that you have called us as your Son's disciples to live very intentional in the way we speak and the way we act so we can display your Son's love to everyone we come in contact with. We want our words and our actions to show that love and to invite other people into his presence. Lord, we are excited about how you're going to move through us this morning. And Lord, as we have this worship service to remember those before us, we ask that you keep us mindful of that. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for our worship service.
Good morning. Let's turn our hymnal to page 631. That's a movement back there. I have to check, make sure I'm in the right place. And I see the ushers back there ready to come down. Let's sing all four verses of 631. Let's all stand.
Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day and allow us to come here to worship. We ask that you be with all those listed on the prayer list. We thank you for the men and women that we celebrate this weekend and the sacrifices they've made. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.
Give everybody just a little extra time to come down this morning. And we have plenty of room. You can sit anywhere you see. I always love seeing everybody when we come down together and talk about the Bible and what Jesus is teaching us this morning. And so my question for you to get us thinking, get us started, is I want to know what your favorite movie is. If you could name one movie, what would your favorite movie be? Frozen. I thought I would hear Frozen. I had an idea. I thought that would happen. Yeah, that's a good one. Heaven is for Real. Great movie. Yeah. What else? The Muppets movie? I like that. I like that. What else? Avengers. That's a good movie. Anybody else? Yeah. Star Wars. Great choice. Yeah. We have another favorite? Frozen again? Maybe Frozen 2. Right. I like that. It'll be coming out soon, I'm sure. What is it? Cloudy with a Chance Meatballs 2. I like that. One more. X-Men. These are good movie choices. All right, one more. Very last one. Frozen again. I like that. I like that. Well, did you know that on Saturday mornings, years ago, there would be a movie for children to go see? And it would often star people like this. Roy Rogers. You see him? You see him? And it would be about sometimes about a cowboy like Roy Rogers here. And the cowboy would get in trouble. And right when the cowboy's in trouble and you're wondering how is he going to get out of this mess, you would see flashed on the screen, "To be continued." And you'd have to come back next week to see how is he going to get out of that trouble, what's going to happen. Well, this week, it's a to be continued from last week, what we were talking about last week. And if you don't remember, let me help you remember. We were talking about Jesus speaking with his disciples, and he was comforting them. He was saying he was going to go away, but not to worry, because he is going to send somebody to help comfort his disciples when he's gone. And we know Jesus was talking about dying on the cross and going into heaven. So he wanted to make sure his disciples knew there's no reason to worry. Jesus knew what he was doing, okay? So the to be continued part is found in John chapter 14, three verses, 15, 16, and 17, okay? Jesus says this, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And when you tell Jesus you want to follow him for the rest of your life, you now have the Holy Spirit living inside you and with you to teach you to remember what Jesus said, what he wants us to do, and how to live for him so we can show other people how he loves us and to tell other people about him. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us, and that's what Jesus was talking about. He wants us to remember we have that. We have the Holy Spirit with us to keep us comforted to know that Jesus is always here for us, teaching us what to do. All right? So let's pray about that this morning. God, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the way he teaches us and comforts us in all we do through the Holy Spirit. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. It's good seeing you. See y'all next week.
Who are we that you will be my beloved? God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. The dead is faith, these chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us. Such a tiny offering compared to Calvary. Nevertheless, we lay this at your feet. Such a tiny offering compared to Calvary. Nevertheless, we lay
Ben. Page 487, first, second, and last verses. This is one of two Stand Up for Jesuses in the hymnal. This one you're going to get a little higher on and sing a little faster on. Let's all stand.
To pray, we 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 p Thank you. You may be seated. As we pause in our worship to pray, we do well. There are a list of names of folks that we are praying for. I certainly appreciate the prayers for my mom who fell and broke her hip. And the plans are when I left the hospital this morning that she will be returning to Sanford Health and Rehab, hopefully this afternoon. We certainly appreciate all of those prayers. I know I've gotten word that we have some who are traveling far. Autumn is going to be traveling, and we want to keep her in our prayers, Autumn Bridges. And then Andrew Worrell is currently traveling and having some adventures that often company overseas travel, and we want to keep Andrew in our prayers as well. I continue to believe that this list in our bulletin is a sacred responsibility. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, the names that occur on our prayer list remind us to pray. Encourage us to pray. And you, O Lord, demand us to pray. And so we lift these needs and these concerns to you. And Lord, tomorrow as our nation shall pause to give thanks for those who paid the supreme sacrifice with their life, Lord, we realize that there will be moms and dads, husbands and wives, and sons and daughters, who this will be a memorial day unlike any others because their family member paid the price this past year. And Lord, when we pause to give thanks for our nation, we pause in this place each Sunday to give thanks to you, O God, for that investment of you taking up your cross and dying on Calvary's hill. And as Ben sang, any offering we might give pales in comparison to the price of Calvary. But, oh God, we offer ourselves again today. We ask you to forgive us wherein we have failed, and we commit ourselves anew with new energy, with new hope, with new prayer, with new Bible study, that we might be better disciples this week than we were last week. And God, would you continue to visit us as we praise you, for we have gathered in your name, and you have assured us that when we gather in your name, you're with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And the people said, thank you, choir. Today is a unique day. A few moments ago at the conclusion of our Sunday school, Leonard shared with us that as of the last day of August, that he will be looking for a new chapter in his life after serving us then for almost 36 years. Leonard, I have served longer with you than any other ministry staff person. And it has been a pleasure, and it will continue to be a pleasure. He almost told me today he changed his mind, so you know how to pray now. We won't keep praying. We've got time. And this past week marked the third-year anniversary of our associate. You only got 33 more years, and you can catch Leonard. See? What a blessing. And the end of this month will mark Kathy's 16th year serving in the capacity as our secretary. If you have your Bibles, open them with me to Luke's Gospel. The ninth chapter, Luke chapter 9. What does it cost to be a disciple? We've just ended 14 weeks of looking at how a disciple and the church run on the same track. I'm afraid that there are folks, and maybe even some here today, I don't know who they would be, but might be like the humorist W.C. Fields, who one day was frantically searching the Bible. And folks saying, well, you're not a man of faith. Why are you reading the Bible? And he said, I'm looking for loopholes. Are we looking for loopholes? As the choir sang, what will it be like when we stand before God and we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant? And I think as we read our text today, you're going to understand that there's a truth. Fields was wasting his time. There are no loopholes. There are no shortcuts. There are no cliff versions. There are no easy internet downloads. It's a life of faith. What is the cost of discipleship? Well, let's hear what Jesus said it was. In Luke chapter 9, we're going to read verses 23 through 27. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word and the gospel? And he said to all, if anyone, I'm going to begin to read again in verse 23, and that he is Jesus. And Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a few moments today as we are grateful for the faithful servanthood that Leonard has displayed and for the countless men and women who have gone before us. And Lord, even at the conclusion of our worship today, when we walk out into that special place in front of our building, the Flat Springs Baptist Cemetery on this Memorial Day weekend. And we give thanks for those who've gone before us, who counted the cost, who lived their faith, and we continue to build upon it. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Memorial Day was officially established on May the 26th, 1966. It had been known kind of unofficially before then as the Decoration Day. And it originated right after the Civil War, when it was sort of a healing time, when folks began to honor the dead of both sides of that tragedy in our nation's history. Maybe it's appropriate that my sermon calendaring brought me to this place on this day, as we are grateful for the cost, that supreme sacrifice, that supreme cost some paid for our freedom as people of this nation. We pause to give thanks for the cost that was paid for our eternity. Have you ever wondered what cost is? Why does a candy bar cost, now I think it's $1.50? Why not $5? Or why not 50 cents? Someone's determined that an Almond Joy is worth so much. Well, economists tell us that it is the market that tells us. It determines value, and there's all kinds of formulas and ratios that enter into that process to determine what an Almond Joy cost. But let me ask this question. How about our walk with God? What is its market value? What is the cost of a life? The cost of our faith? The cost of being a believer? Jesus gives us some insight into that today. The quick answer to that question, what is the market value, the cost of our life, is a life. The cost of our life, of our eternity, is a life. And it's the life of the one we just read his words. The one who said, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. The cost of discipleship, how do we give our life? First, we must die to Jesus. That's what he meant when he was talking about taking up our cross, denying ourselves. We must die to Jesus. We must put Jesus first in our life. We sometimes get that mixed up. Have you ever noticed why they mark something they're selling, especially big ticket items? They don't say something costs $10,000, do they? What does it cost? $9,999.99. And we walk away thinking, well, it only costs $9,000. Duh. They know that. They know that it doesn't take much. Just a penny, one penny, can change our thinking. And change what we think the value is. And then hopefully after we get so far down a road, we'll be too far to turn back. It's easy to misfigure the cost. I heard a story of two Norwegians from Minnesota. Do we have any Norwegians from Minnesota here? Okay, I'll tell this story then. Good. They went fishing up in Canada. And after a whole 10 days of fishing, they came back and they only caught one fish. One fish. The way I figure it, that fish cost us $1,000 each, said the first Norwegian. Well, said the other one, at that price, it's a good thing we didn't catch any more. See, he didn't quite have it figured out right, did he? He hadn't counted the cost right. Could I ask us a serious question this morning? What does our faith cost? No, really, what does it cost? I know we know the right answer. We've been in Sunday school way too long. We've sat through worship too many times. But what does it really cost? We must first die. We must first die to Christ. You see, denying yourself, that's not just a slogan, but it's a way of life. And there is a historical moment back from the 1800s. Garibaldi, the great general who led a tremendous army, had an incredibly reality that his army was volunteer. And listen to how he would appeal to them. This was a quote of Garibaldi. For folks to come and live and die and give themselves to the full discipline of the military, he said, I offer neither pay nor quarters nor provisions. I offer hunger, thirst, forced marches, battles, and death. Let him who loves his country with his heart and not with his lips only, follow me. Now, I'm not sure that'd be a good recruiting strategy today. But you know what? That doesn't sound too far removed from if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. To die to Jesus. It's not just about being a disciple when it's convenient. I read someone had put it on Facebook this week that the Bible is the bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. I like that. Are we like fields looking for loopholes? Oh, Lord, I got a problem right now, and I know I hadn't talked to you in a long time, but I think it's probably time now because I need you, God. A disciple's not just about Sunday, not just about when we need God to do something for us. He's not the genie in the Bible that we can rub the Bible and him pop out and ask us what we need. He calls us to be disciples every day. There's a cost. We just talked about those 10 traits of a disciple who have the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. They involve themselves regularly in life-changing worship. They practice spiritual discipline. They are an integral part. They have connected in every way to be a part of a growing and learning community of faith. They maintain a servant's heart. They establish and maintain and nurture loving and caring relationships. They share their faith generously. They manage their life wisely. They network in a larger extent with other believers. And they're good stewards with everything God has entrusted them. That's what it cost. This is a life of dying to the world and living to the Lord. The cost involves redefining the world and what's in it. And my goodness, we're struggling with that. We're struggling in this culture because the culture continues to redefine itself every day. It would be good if the culture would just sit still for a while. But it changes every day. And a sermon that I preached 5 years ago about what was happening in the culture may not even be the same thing anymore because the culture's changed. But let me remind us that we serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the call for discipleship has not changed. It still is the cost of a life for a life. I heard a comedian this week say, I believe in God. I really do. I believe in God. But not enough to mess up my Sundays by going to church every Sunday. He was looking for loopholes, wasn't he? A life sold out to God who realizes every day that when we wash our hands, we need to look in the sink and see if some of Christ's blood falls from them. Because because he laid down his life for us. And we must never lose sight of how much our discipleship cost. It cost Christ everything. What's it really about, this cost? It's that inside change that's most important. I remember when I lived in Irwin, we had a big chest-type freezer that sat on our side wall in our kitchen. And we would do maybe like you do. We would take things out of the deep freeze and put them in the top freeze. And some days we would go days without opening our freezer. We also had two small children. One was learning, had not quite yet learned to walk and was still crawling, but was crawling well. And for some reason, the manufacturer of this particular freezer decided it was a good idea to put the controls to the freezer right down where a two-year-old toddler might find the on-off button. Don't get ahead of me. Yes, my toddler found that switch and must have been there in the kitchen for just that few moments. You know, sometimes they get there before you do. And must have discovered that switch and thought it was marvelous and played with it four or five times till maybe her name was called and she abandoned that game but left the freezer in the off position. 8 days later, you know, those things are sealed up real good, and as long as you don't open them, you don't know anything bad is happening. But brothers and sisters, when you open that freezer was full of meat. My granddaddy had caught a 2.5-pound crappie, and I was going to have it mounted for him. That whole crappie was in there. I won't tell you all the ingredients, but let me tell you, when we opened the door to that freezer, it was a sad time in the McCullough household. The smell that emitted from that freezer. Licato, Max Licato, in his book, The Applause of Heaven, had a similar situation. And I love what he said about cleaning the freezer. I read, "What is the best way to clean the rotten interior out of a freezer? I knew what it would do. I got a rag and a bucket and soapy water, and I began cleaning the outside of the appliance. I was sure the odor would disappear when I buffed and wiped and polished the outside. But when I opened the door, the smell was still revolting. No problem, I thought. I knew what it was. The freezer just needed some friends. I'd stink too if I had to live in that little utility room. So I invited all the appliances in the neighborhood over, and we played plug the cord into the outlet, and they just had a grand time. I thought surely that'd take care of the inside, and when I opened it, the smell was nauseating. I thought, well, I know what it is. It just needs status. So I went out and bought a Mercedes-Benz sticker and stuck it on the side. I hung a cell phone on the outside and put a nice boombox on top. Now it was a cool freezer. Surely that would solve the problem. But when I opened it up, it just pure stunk. I thought, entertaining, that's what it needs. More entertaining. If it's really entertaining, that'll take care of the odor. So I went out and got all kind of movies. My favorite, Licato says, was The Big Chill. Okay, I just know if y'all got that or not. After a few days of showing my freezer all those movies, I opened the door and the odor made me sick. He concludes, "I know you're thinking the only thing worse than Max's humor is his common sense. Who would concentrate on the outside when the problem W.C. Fields was looking for loopholes for the inside. Doesn't take much sin to create a tremendous stink. We must die to Jesus. We must die for Jesus, he tells us in verse 24. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, Jesus says, he will save it. I memorized it in the King James Version. Matt read it this morning. But again, may we focus on Romans 12:1. You remember that verse? Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is, he says in the King James, your reasonable service. Newer translations say, it's your spiritual worship. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your minds. It's the inside. The cost of a disciple is not the outside. We can buff it. We can put on a suit and tie, and we can come and sit among the brothers and the sisters, and the inside can still be rotten. But the cost of a disciple is the inside. I wonder today, are we paying that cost? David Jeremiah, the founder of World Vision, the International Christian Relief, had a gentleman who went over, traveled to Indonesia, and while he was there, he found a woman that was sitting by a river on a bamboo mat. And he found out quickly she was dying with cancer. Bob Pierce is this gentleman who found it, and he was indignant. He himself was suffering with leukemia. And he had an advanced leukemia, and he was on a great deal of medication. This was kind of his last swan song before he would go to be with the Lord. But his friends explained, as he was so angry, she was there by the river. That was her request, because there was no help for her. And she wanted to be near the jungle, near the river, as she died. As Bob gazed at her, he felt such compassion that he got down on his knees in the mud, and he took her hand and he began stroking it. Although she didn't understand him, he prayed for her. After she looked up and was saying something, and Bob asked, what was she saying? She said, if only I could sleep. If only I could sleep just one more time. If only I could sleep just one more time. Bob began to weep, and then he reached into his pocket and he took out his prescription of very strong sleeping pills. And he gave them to the man and he said, give them to her. And she'll have 10 nights of sleep. Bob would not sleep for the next 10 nights, for he had no refills till he got back to the States. Each night they heard him moan. They heard him as he got up, restless nights. That day, his servanthood cost him 10 days of suffering. But Jeremiah says, God had infused a supernatural sense of satisfaction that he had done the right thing. He died with Christ. That's what we're called to do. This morning, the final word is, we must not only die for and to, we must die with Christ. That passage in Romans says, be a living sacrifice. What's our investment strategy? Do we really believe in heaven? Do we really believe that eternity is forever and always? Are we like fields looking for loopholes, doing just enough by our way of thinking that in case it's right, we still give in? We don't want enough faith to totally transform our life and our thinking and our actions. Just enough. We must die with Jesus. Verse 25 says, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? It's hard to attract a crowd with all this death and dying talk, isn't it? But we're not trying to attract a crowd. We're trying to develop a congregation of believers, folks who have sold out to Jesus Christ, who love him more than life itself, and who who are willing to pay the cost of discipleship, to take up their cross and to daily follow. Oh, friends, when you leave this place, you will be inundated, if your radio's on when you drive home, with a world telling you to invest in the temporary. But Jesus says, invest in eternity. Pay the cost. It's worth it. What's the cost of discipleship? A life for a life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I long one day to hear those words our choir sang, well done. Lord, let that begin today. Let me live right now as you would have me live. And do what you'd have me do. And spend more time with you that I might better understand what it is you'd have me do. You know every heart and every need here. May we be found faithful as we offer ourselves to you in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of decision is page 486. Lord, here am I. Page 486, this morning, if God is calling you to make some decision, public or private, may we all do so as we stand together. I know we've been blessed today to have some guests, and we're excited about that. We'd like to invite you, if you will, to come and join us, as our tradition is on this Memorial Sunday. We will go out into our cemetery, and we will conclude our service there by sharing some information about our cemetery and sharing the names of those that have gone to be with the Lord since last Memorial Day. And then we'll conclude our service by putting our flag at half staff, and Leonard will be playing taps for us. So at this time, I'd invite the ushers to come and take our wreath that we'll present, and then invite the rest of the congregation to join me under our oak tree in the center of our cemetery for the conclusion of our worship.